Singing this morning. Page number 82, everyone. 82. And a favorite around here, a song we all, most all of us love, "A Comforter Has Come." Let's sing it tonight, this morning, in page number 82. And we need the help of the Holy Ghost today.
Amen.
Holy Spirit. We need to make him, of course, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make him welcome today. 82.
Oh, spread the tidings round where every man is found, where every human heart and human woes abound. Then every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter with healing in his wings to every captive soul.
Forward, and we'll receive our Sunday morning offering. Appreciate you giving today. All right. W.A., would you lead us, sir? Yes, Lord, sure do.
Again, we pray for all the sick and shut-ins that have been mentioned. Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Young. She bring them to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. We pray for the offering, Heavenly Father. We will give back to you for all the blessings you bestow upon us. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let's see.
Everything I've
been
in the parking lot.
Check it. Okay. All right. Page number 40, everyone. Page 40. They'll handle it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. But trust and obey. Please stand again and sing a good old song here. We love this song. Trusting and obeying. Amen. Here we go. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, for glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey. But a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a fear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy, Jesus, but to trust. On the third, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but we're told He doth richly repay. And not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey, but we never can prove the delight of His love. All on the altar we lay, for the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are with them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship's way, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go, never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. Jesus, but to trust and obey. All right, be seated. Thank you, everyone.
Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, 360. Z.
It's an A flat.
Yes, and key is Z in my book.
It's an A flat.
Zing.
Fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on His everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
All right, church. Now, all of you that can, please stand. Take your hymn book and turn over to page 360. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing verse number three is verse number four, because of the fact that's where the church is today. They have a lot of dread and they have a lot of fear. This song is telling us that we don't have nothing to dread and we have nothing to fear. Now, if you don't have anything to fear and you don't have anything to dread and you're ready to have that blessed peace that comes only from the Lord Jesus Christ, sing it out. If you have something to dread and if you have something to fear and you don't have that blessed peace of the Lord, I ask you to put your songbook down and take a walk to the old-fashioned altar. Because I promise you this, if you'll just go ahead and do what this song tells us to do and be obedient to the Lord, all this other mess that's in the world, all that other junk will start going away and it'll all just go backwards. Amen? And I'll go ahead and tell you this, it'll give you the hide of a rhinoceros. Because I'm telling you something today. The church and the people that's outside of it, that's not even a part of the church, have a skin that is so thin that you can see through it. And it's pitiful. Amen? That's where we are today. All right, let's sing this fourth verse. Amen?
What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
All righty. Nobody took the walk. So that tells me, church, that you're right. You don't have nothing to dread. You don't have nothing to fear. And you're getting what it says in that second stanza. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Amen? So see, go ahead and look back at verse up there in that first stanza when we have nothing to dread and nothing to fear because God is near. Amen.
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 Preach to us.
Yes, sir, my brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Got your water right there. If you're ready to go for it.
All right. It's good to be here this morning. Me and preachers got the same problem. We can't keep up with our Bible sometimes. But all right, we found it. This morning, good to see everyone. Brother Sammy, would you lead us in prayer, brother, as we begin this morning? Appreciate it.
Praise your name of the Father, Lord. We're so thankful, God, that you've allowed us to be in your house this morning. God, to worship in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you for the choir singing, Lord. We thank you for the special. God, we thank you for your presence in the service this morning, Lord.
Yes.
God, most of all, we thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord, that saved us and loved us. God, we just pray that you bless Brother Young this morning as he breaks the bread of life to us, Lord. May it be exactly what our hearts need to hear. And God, there's one here that's walking in the guilty distance, Lord, that don't know you. God, we just pray that this morning before they leave, God, they come an old-fashioned
yes.
altar, Lord.
Yes, right Lord. Yes, Lord.
What you do for us, Lord, we love you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Genesis chapter 45 this morning, where your Bible is just about to fall apart. With Sunday school, a lot of us have been in Genesis for a long time. But I'm just not quite ready to leave yet. But this morning we want to obey the Lord in the service and to honor God. This morning I want us to see some things here. I believe it'll be a great encouragement. Hopefully it will be. To everyone here today. Chapter 45, let's look over here to verse number, we'll begin a reading in verse 25 right to this point. The whole chapter needs to be read, but we won't have time. We'll be referring to other scriptures. But verse 25, the Bible says, in chapter 45, verse 25, "And they went up out of Egypt, and it came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob, their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons," notice that, "when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Now, a lot of you are already familiar with the story with Joseph. We had a long series. One of the first series I ever had in Sunday school was with Joseph. And then we've been dealing with Jacob's life, you know, and all Joseph come back on the scene. But, you know, at this point in Jacob's life, he's a man that's been through a lot. For years now, he had been grieving over his son, Joseph. And so the report he got 40 years previous to this, he got a report about Joseph and that his son had went out to find his brothers and to see what they were up to. And Joseph had a great responsibility. He was one with a coat of many colors. He was a leader in the family and went searching for his brothers. And just a little while after that, the brothers come back to Jacob with a bloody coat in their hands. And said, "This is what's left of Joseph. A wild beast has devoured him." And they said, told Jacob, "Joseph is dead." And so when he told Jacob this, he believed their report. Now, we have read between the lines. We've read the scriptures before and after. We know exactly what happened. And the report was not the truth. It was false information. They made up the story about Joseph. Joseph, it was one that was not killed by a wild beast, but he was sold into slavery. And he winds up there in Egypt, you see, and all. They're in Potiphar's house and prison and all that. And years after that, he winds up in the palace, you see, serving under Pharaoh. That's where we are this morning. But Jacob believed an untrue report. And his sons, see, when it came the first time, they told Jacob, their father, a lie, and he believed it. Now, in chapter 45, his boys, come to him again a second time and tell him a story that Joseph is alive. And at this time, Jacob, you know, he believed the false report before. Now he refuses to believe the truth, refuses to believe that Joseph is alive. So at this point, see, Jacob had become real skeptical. And I feel like that's where a lot of us are this morning. You know, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God has given us all these promises. And God has done so much for us all this time. We've been saved. But there's been many times, folks, we'd have to be honest, we're guilty of being skeptical. Skeptical of God and what God's doing. Doubting God, you see. And so Jacob, you know, he went through all this, all this sorrow, all these years, and now they tell him that Joseph was alive, and so he won't believe it. He don't receive it. It's like Thomas, you know, in John chapter 20 after the resurrection. And Thomas, you know, they was up in the upper room, everybody except Thomas. And they told Thomas that we've seen the resurrected Christ. Thomas says, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and his feet and his riven side, I will not believe. So the second time, Thomas shows up in the upper room, and there's the Son of God, resurrected Christ, standing before him. And Thomas makes the pronouncement without even touching his body at all. He says, my Lord and my God. He believed what he saw, you see. So there's a lot of doubting in the Bible. There's a lot of things going on in the Scriptures. But you know, Thomas was not... A lot of us are just like Thomas. We fail to believe God many times. Thomas come face to face with Jesus. And a lot of us have to come face to face with God and face to face in our prayer life with the will of God and the purpose of God in our life. And so whatever, we need to be face to face with him. Jacob had to come face to face with this situation before him now, face to face, because, see, when I read the scripture here, verse number 27, the Bible says, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them, and when he, what? Saw the wagons. When he saw the wagons coming. What happened in Jacob's life? The Bible says Joseph, it's been said he's alive, and when he sees the wagons which Joseph sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob revived. So it took the vision of the wagons for Jacob to wake up and see that Joseph truly was alive. The story was the truth that his sons had told him. And he was bringing these wagons, not only for Jacob, but they were bringing the wagons for his family and all his possessions. To bring all to Egypt. Because there was a famine in the land. And it was 5 more years left in this famine. And they'd perish in Canaan. But Joseph was taking his family back where he was to care for them. And so this morning I want you to see something very precious I feel in my heart. The wagons are coming. The wagons is coming to Community Baptist Church. The wagons are coming, not just here in the Old Testament, but all those that are children of faith. You see, we need to really see and notice that the wagons are coming. What do you mean, Brother Young, by that? What is going on this morning, Brother Young, in this message? Brother Adam was asking me what the title of the message, and I have different titles for it. And I just told him whatever I could tell him. But it's about the wagons coming. There's a lot of wagons. And I'm just going to give you the points because I know I ain't going to have time to deal with all of them the way that I need to. There's 5 wagons are coming. 5 wagons are coming. Now, I'm sure when the Bible says here that the wagons were coming, he mentions in other scriptures here, he uses the word wagons with an S at the end of it. It's more than one wagon. It's more than one wagon. And it takes a lot of wagons to take Jacob and his family back to Egypt, you see. Everything had to be provided for. But the wagons were coming. What are the wagons that we're talking about? Well, there's 5 wagons, and I could probably put a lot more with it. There's a lot of wagons this morning. The first wagon, I want you to notice, and I want to start in the right place, Pastor, the lunch wagon. The lunch wagon. Oh, boy, the lunch wagon. go back here to the front door, make a left, go down there and make another left. There's a lunch wagon back there awaiting on us after a while. Ladies have got some things together, you see, to feed us today, and we thank God for that. But the lunch wagon is my first point. Secondly, the station wagon. The lunch wagon is here. It's arrived. And also the station wagon. And then we have a welcome wagon. Oh, boy, can't wait to get to that.
Amen.
And then here we have here the covered wagon. Yeah, and then also, lastly, the bandwagon. We've got a lot of wagons, and I hope y'all follow me this morning. There's a lot of truth in this, a lot of help in this, and we'll see it. Is that in the lunch wagon, oh, listen, Jesus says, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Oh, listen, God wants us to come and dine. And we're not talking about eating physical food, but spiritual.
Amen.
Come and dine. Look at chapter, the same chapter, 45, verse 5. The same chapter, verse 5 in our reading. The Bible says here that they therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves as you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse number 7, the Bible says, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Now listen, put yourself in the verse now. Include yourself in the scriptures. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and there will I nurse thee in the famine. Oh, listen, the words he used of nourishing and preserving them and giving them great deliverance, you see. The lunch wagon does that. The lunch wagon is things that may not be going our way this morning. And some things that kind of gets us derailed where the wagon needs to be. And but listen, derailing the lunch wagon. The lunch wagon's going to show up. Lunch wagon's going to be there. It's already here. The lunch wagon is already at our church this morning. When you come in those doors this morning, I hope even before you did come to the church that you were praying about the lunch wagon, about the lunch wagon being here to church. What's good? What good is a lunch wagon at church? But we're hungry people. We're hungry souls this morning. We need to feed and eat of the Lord. We need to be nourished by Him. Not only the milk of the Word, but also the meat of the Word, you see. We cherish the time we can feed on Him. And listen, folks, if you don't eat, you just starve to death.
That's right.
We got so many starving Christians this morning. They're standing around about to have spiritual malnutrition. They cannot eat because they're not where they can eat. To be in God's Word and in God's house this morning. Listen, and Isaiah talks about in chapter 45, come ye, purchase bread and milk. Come and purchase food without price. There's no price limit. There's no price on eating of the Lord. Let me read it, please. Isaiah 45, verse 18. I'm just doing damage to the Word here. Chapter 45, verse 18 of Isaiah. 45:18. Because the verse, a lot of us probably got it memorized. But thus saith the Lord. Isaiah, chapter number, it's 45, verse 18. I hope I got it right. I don't know what. Chapter 45, that's not right. Excuse me, just a minute. Give me a minute here. I've got it written down here. I know it's Isaiah. Pastor, you might be able to help me on that. I hate not to know my scriptures, but 40. Here it is. Chapter 55. Chapter 55, Isaiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. That's what I want him.
Amen.
Come and buy without money and without price, you see. Because see, the thing is about God's lunch wagon, it's already paid for.
Yes, sir.
It's already paid for. You don't have to purchase anything. You don't have to have money. You couldn't get enough money to purchase what God's given us. And so, you remember George Mueller? Oh, he prayed every bit of food into that orphanage. And them kids, they had every meal supplied because God supplied it for them. God's lunch wagon came by that more orphanage, you see. And you think about the times that we needed to be fed of God, and we had God's lunch wagon come by. We was able to feed and feast. And in Revelation, go on over to Revelation chapter 19. The Lord says it's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. He calls it a supper.
Yes, sir.
A supper. What's God going to do at the marriage supper? Captain, not too long ago, asked me, said, when what we'll eat at the marriage supper? When what we'll eat there? You know, it's going to be a supper. We're going to be eating. And so God's lunch wagon is going to go all through our life and even be in heaven there with us. God's lunch wagon is going to feed us.
Yeah.
Oh, folk, listen. I hope y'all get something out of this lunch wagon today. Don't leave here today still hungry. Oh, just let God feed your hungry hearts today. Secondly, there's not only a lunch wagon, there's a station wagon. Now, I used to have a station wagon. The very first car I ever owned was a 62 Plymouth station wagon with a 318, had a glass back, a muffler on it. That thing was like a Sherman tank going down the road. First car I ever bought it from a preacher, my pastor, Thomas Smith, at the Welcome Baptist Church. He supplied that car for me to drive. The very first car was, we had our honeymoon and all that, the car we drove. And so the station wagon is very important. And it was just me and Catherine. Well, you know, I had a station wagon. How many has owned a station wagon before? Can you raise your hand? Yeah. I mean, you get a station wagon, not just you and your wife. You got children, grandkids and all. You got things you want to haul on that thing, you know. We just, all kinds of purposes for it. But God's station wagon, what is that? Well, it's like the lunch wagon coming down, the master caller coming down. The station wagon, you see, coming to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Coming to me. Well, get on that station wagon. Why have a station wagon? Because it carries more than just one person. It's made to carry more people, a family. And so the station wagon, chapter 45 here, Genesis verse 10. Look at it. Verse 10. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Thou shalt be near unto me, thou, thy children, and thy children's children. That means it's going to be Jacob and all his children and all of his grandkids. We're talking about over 70 souls are supposed to come back on his wagons back to Egypt. All the 70 souls, God's going to send the wagons. God's going to send a station wagon for them.
Yes, sir.
Okay? A station wagon. Now, God's sent a station wagon to everybody in this church. My home would be my wife and three boys. We got four grandchildren. Well, what I want this morning is when God's station wagon comes to my house, and has already been to my house a long time, I want to be able to usher my wife, my boys, and my daughter, and my grandkids into that station wagon. Y'all got your kids, you got your family, you're always thinking about them.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go to heaven without them. When they get older, especially. Oh, to be able to get your family in a God's station wagon.
Yes,
but God's got a way of transporting them to heaven safely. God's going to put them there. He's going to be the driver. And so he's the one that's going to be helping us to get our children, our family. We need a lunch wagon and we need a station wagon. Your kids, they may have wandered away, but we still want them all there with us. We want a full load in our station wagon. Oh, God has promised that he would keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. God, he begun a good work in us. We perform it to the day of Christ. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?
Yeah.
Oh, God wants us to load that wagon down. We got a van out there.
Yeah.
Now, see, it's been mentioned many times, I know. But it's not just, see, that's a station wagon in itself.
Yes, sir.
See, and we got a station wagon out there in front of the church. It's empty. And so we need to do something about that, you see. And we need to be able to scoop people up and bring them to the house of God to make sure to get to a good place and hear good preaching and good singing, you see. And many can give their heart to Christ, you see. And all this, you see, in this station wagon. Oh, and these people, they'll be brought to Goshen, a land of Goshen here is where they're headed. And we have a place that we're headed this morning in God's station wagon. And we're going to make it to our destination safely, securely. And I want to get there with all my loved ones and family with me. Then thirdly, we got only a lunch wagon, a station wagon. We got a welcome wagon. You know what a welcome wagon is. You used to come to the door all the time. People would just move in a community, you know, and somebody would knock at the door, and they'll have a little package, a little something for you, some bread or some different little things to offer you, welcome you to the community. They used to do it all the time. And so the welcome wagon is there. And these people were in Jacob's life were to get on these wagons, and they're saying, well, by these wagons showing up at their home, you're welcome to go with us on the wagons. You're welcome to go to Goshen. The Goshen, the land of plenty, the land of comfort, you see. You're welcome to come. Isn't it good feeling in your heart? Because you know when God dealt with our heart that day when he saved us, God was had his arms outstretched. God was welcoming us. God was inviting us to come to him. He didn't turn us away because of what we was and what we did. God had his hands open for us. So he was welcoming us to be with him. We can be there and we can have the... And even now we feel welcome. I mean, it's good to feel welcome in a church, isn't it? People come into service and, boy, I want to go back there. I felt comfortable. I felt like they really wanted me in the service. I was so glad to be there, you see. But you know, there's a welcome wagon of God that we ought to be glad to be in God's welcome wagon. Be glad that we're part of it. Not just the church, a visible church here, but the body of Christ. And not be ashamed of it. God says in John 14, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does that mean? God's making a place for us because we're welcome in that place. We're welcome in that place.
Yes, sir.
And so there's a new home beyond imagination. We all have questions about how it would be, but we're going to be welcome there. Fourthly, the covered wagon. A covered wagon. What in the world? Look over here. Now we could say, the lunch wagon, you know, come and dine, the master calleth. And we could say the station wagon, coming to me. The Lord says, coming to me, get on the station wagon. And the welcome wagon, the comforter has come. We sung it this morning. He's come, and that we're welcome by the Holy Ghost to come and get into this welcome wagon and be involved in it. But the covered wagon is something that we need to see this morning. Let me see, I got some scripture here, but we'll get to it. But like when it talks about this covered wagon, you remember, I don't know if y'all have done much study about the old West days, the old covered wagons, you know. They were specially made in their travel. I mean, it's just years ago, they used to go everywhere on these covered wagons. And in Joseph's life, when Joseph brought these wagons, I'm sure they were just not exposed. I think there were some covers on them as well to keep the hot sun off of them and, you know, protect them and all this. And so the covered wagons, a lot of them were in Western days and old years ago, back in 1800s, when they brought these wagons around across the country, they were treated with a special kind of oil. They would just wash them down with oil to waterproof them. And make it where a case when they make a trip across the country, it wouldn't leak. Okay? They were covered, and not just covered, but they were protected. Now, God's got some covered wagons in the scriptures. And I really hadn't thought of it this way until recently, but Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was like a big covered wagon for Noah and his family. A covered wagon. It was covered with pitch. You know, it was waterproofed. And with God, knowing his eight souls, God, knowing all his family, God closed the door, shut them in, and protected them. I believe there's not one drop of water got inside of that ark. Not one drop. It was dry inside. They were protected. They were covered.
Yes, sir.
And then we have the Passover, Exodus chapter 12. The covered on the blood. It was covered on the doorposts and on the lintel. And Bible says, Lord, the angel came over that home at night. There was a lot of firstborn children died. Why? Because they didn't have the blood on the doorpost and lintel. They didn't have the blood applied. But the angel's death angel said, the Lord says, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. So they were covered. And then there's the covering cloud that the children of Israel used when they went across the wilderness. And they had this pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire at night. The pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, it guided them. It protected them. They followed that pillar, you see, everywhere they went. See, it covered them. And then the covering cloud, the atonement in the tabernacle, the high priest went in once a year to the Holy of Holies. He sprinkled that blood on the floor of propitiation, stood on that blood, and on behalf of all them people, their blood, their sins were atoned for another year. Listen, folk, the blood means so much in the covering. We're in this God's covered wagon. We've been covered. We've been protected. And so when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And God's passed over a lot of people here this morning. God's judgment could have been upon us, but it's not because of the blood this morning. Then the bandwagon. The bandwagon is this great possession of people. They're following all of them, gathering together, going back, going to Canaan, going to Egypt from Canaan, going to Joseph, because God showed them what they could do here to preserve life. And so, singing in heavenly harmony is what's going on in the bandwagon. You know what a bandwagon is? A bandwagon is when people are trying to promote a certain thing. Not just politics. It could be anything. They're trying to get everybody's support. Everybody to pay attention. To join with them, you see, whatever it is. Some things can be good. Some things can be bad. But these bandwagons are something that really is an activity that you and I, when you got saved, you jumped on God's bandwagon. God's bandwagon, because you support him. You want to be there for the Lord. You want to stand for the Lord. I'm nearing this time in your life where it's really to tell the men from the boys now. Because a lot of people say they've been on the bandwagon, have jumped off, and they've got out, no longer on the bandwagon. They're no longer stand and support. They really don't want to be called a Christian anymore. They want to live for the Lord, no more. And so the bandwagon is here. Oh, what kind of song would go with this? Well, oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on snowy wings to my eternal home. So we need to get on to that angel band, that angel, the band that will be there for the Lord. So this is this kind of funny, unusual message in a way, but I hope y'all understand what we've been trying to say, that there's so many different kinds of wagons that God's brought to our church. Yep. That God has in store for us. And Revelation 22, verse 17, the Bible says, the Spirit of the bride says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that thirst come. Whosoever shall will, let him come. Take the water of life freely. God's asking you to come and get on his wagons and enjoy the ride. You see, Jacob and all his family didn't have to worry about anything. God took care of all of it. And they got exactly where they needed to go, faithfully. They because Joseph, a picture of the Lord Jesus, he cared. He cared enough. He loved his family. And I feel like this morning that it's our responsibility. We know about the wagons. We know about times that God's fed us. Many times our cupboards might have been empty. God put groceries on that table. And the many times that we come to church hungry and God fed our hungry soul spiritually. But all that went on in our life, everything, every part about it, is that God's like a gift that God's given us. And God is so faithful to us.
Yes, sir.
Let's stand everyone together, please. I wish to things could have, I could have been more clear. But this is where God wanted us to go.
Amen.
Every head bowed this morning, we do pray the Lord will speak to your hearts today. And people, we just don't appreciate all God's did. With the times God's fed us, the times God has covered us, the times that God has welcomed us, the times that God has excited us, the time that God has just stirred our hearts. And God wants us this morning to really, if you need to pray this morning about loading up God's station wagon. There's people that's still not going to be in that station wagon. They're not going to be in a place when you go to heaven. You'll be in heaven, but there'll be many that won't be there. And I feel like this morning that we are in need of the Lord's help in our life in so many different ways. Let's pray that God, we not hinder, that we not stop or do anything that would stop these wagons in our life, in our church, to keep the wagons moving. Keep the wagons going there in the direction that God wants them to go in. And be thankful, oh, thankful, how God, so he remembers us and God cares for us and God provides for us. All these different wonderful things. I love God for all he does. The God, they could have left these wagons in Egypt, but they desired for the help of God to come to Canaan to pick up Jacob and his family and all his possessions. God is making a trip in the hearts of you people this morning. God's got to. The wagons that's coming your way has been your way for years and you just fail to recognize them. God's got help in store for us. God's got a way for us. God's got a way of delivering us with so many different things. The devil will try to ruin what God's doing, but we need to be thankful that God's an almighty God and God so cares for the church this morning. Our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We realize, God, that Lord, you're special, you're wonderful, you're a caring God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have helped us and fed us and you've encouraged us, you have covered us, many of our family is saved this morning because that you, Lord, took the time, the precious grace and mercy of God, and you loved each one of us. You were not willing that any perish but come to repentance. And we pray now, Lord, this morning, bless, Lord. Help us not to miss God's blessings. Help us not to overlook what God's doing. Help us to know that, God, everything you do is for a purpose and a reason. You do it for our benefit, God. The glory, bring glory to the Savior's name. Oh, God, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, today. Bless these that are praying this morning. Help every soul that's here. Lord Jesus, meet with us today. We pray in Jesus' name.